couple of quick announcements before I get into the sermon today. The last song is a hymn. I wanted to give you guys the page number. Aaron, I asked him to shout it out, but it was for the last song. It's going to be page 204, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. There's a prayer section of hymns in the hymn book. I was looking through that this week. I was trying to line all of the songs up with prayer this week. That was a tall task, trying to find songs that were relevant to prayer. The first one was an Alliance church. They did that song, the very first song. It was an Alliance church. So it's one of our sister churches that did that song. The second song, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Let Us Pray, Let Us Pray, Let Us Pray in Every Way, right? He said, somebody comes and asks me for prayer. That line was in there. Somebody comes and asks me for prayer, and I say, I'll pray for you later. He said, no, let's pray right now while we're knocking on heaven's door, you know? So I know that, and that's not part of the sermon, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll include that in the sermon. But here is here is a couple of announcements, and I'm sorry that I gotta plug this right now, but I wanted to plug that. The last song is a hymn, so I want to make everybody happy and keep everybody, you know, in the loop on that. Guys, our men's breakfast yesterday, Bible study was fantastic. We had a pretty good turnout. I was excited about that. Wednesday night has we have been steadily going up in numbers. We've been averaging about 20 to 25 people a week. There are currently 26 members on the church membership list. So almost all the members of the church come to the Bible study. That's fantastic. As your pastor, one of the things that I have to do is train and equip. I have to teach, I have to train, and I have to equip others. So one of the ways that we've been equipping is going through, when I came on, a year ago, we were finishing up Discipleship 101 through the Alliance. And then we decided to go through a book of the Bible, Mark. And we're still in the book of Mark. All right. With that being said, we got 3 chapters left. I can anticipate another 6 to 9 weeks, depending. All right. And then I was talking to Brother Steve, who helps out with a lot of teaching. Brother John helps out with a lot of teaching, and I appreciate these guys a lot. I like to change things up, but I still want to be biblical in all of the things that we're doing. So with that being said, Steve mentioned a book called The Fundamentals of Faith. Now, we don't have Sunday school, right? And we don't have small group, so we have Sunday morning and Wednesday night for teaching. And not everybody wants to go through this book, The Fundamentals of Faith. I understand that. So Brother John said, hey, I want to go through a spiritual gifts class. So Brother John and I were talking about that, and he's going to offer a spiritual gifts class. So if anybody would like to take a spiritual gifts class, we can have a sign-up sheet for that. So John has an idea. I'm going to take and go through The Fundamentals of Faith. It is about discipleship, and it also is a introductory to the Bible and everything else, which you would learn in a Sunday school class, but because we don't have Sunday school, this is the other way to do it. Believe me, I have lost a lot of sleep over this. I have listened to a lot of people. I've listened to, you know, I took surveys, and people want to do discipleship. They want to learn about discipleship. Some people don't know how to disciple, and they are comfortable with letting other people disciple for them. That's fine. We'll work through that. So with that being said, we're going to continue to pray over this, and we're going to figure this out. All right? So that's my plug for that. Been a good week. Been a good week. I'm so glad that the guys got to meet and back. We're going to continue to hit that and make sure that's growing. Train, equip, and teach. That's my job. So that's what I'm going to try to do for you all. I think, prayerfully, I'm praying Prayer is discipline. How many of you work out throughout the week? A few of you. Okay. Work out. That is discipline to your body. Working out. Go to the gym. Right? Why do we work out? Stay healthy, right? What does working out do? What does it do for your heart? Makes you stronger, right? Prayer is discipline, right? You go to the gym and you work out and you spend, I know some people spend 5 or 6 hours a week in the gym. That's good. That's really good. That's healthy for your body. You want to keep moving. You want to keep all these phalanges and everything moving, right? And you want to keep your heart strong, right? You don't want to sit and become sedentary. That's not good for your body or your heart. Prayer is the same way. Without prayer, that is the heartbeat of a Christian's walk. And without prayer and without that practice, the discipline of praying, we're not going to be very spiritual. We're just not. So I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to dive into what the Bible says about prayer. Prayer is worship. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for the example of prayer in the Bible. Lord Jesus, I ask right now that you would come and you would just let the Holy Spirit speak through me and let people understand the word and help us to grow in this together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Excuse me, I haven't had anything to drink all morning. No coffee. We'll see how this goes. First Chronicles 16:29. Let's start off with that. First Chronicles 16:29, before I get into this introduction here. Says, 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Over the next several weeks, we want to take a dive into scripture and learn about prayer, the power of prayer, and through this, we will learn about the attributes of God. Did you know that there's attributes in God when we pray? We want to teach people how to have a deep transformational prayer that lasts longer than 40 days, to teach them how to pray for the rest of their lives. In J. Oswald Sanders' book, The Power of Transforming Prayer, he says there are 5 elements in a well-balanced prayer life. They are worship or adoration, thanksgiving, confession, petition, and intercession. And again, that's by Sanders. Yes, you guys gave me that book for Christmas and how well it ties into the next several weeks. So thank you very much, Brother John and Sister Claire. The CMA is walking through the 40 days of prayer, and their first week is prayer as worship. The Alliance did something wonderful. They sent us sermon series already kind of put together. So I got to walk through this and I got to add some meat, but they made it very easy so that we're all in unison on this. Unity, Ephesians 4, right? Ephesians 4, we want to be unified in the body of Christ. Again, today's message is prayer as worship. Prayer is our invitation to commune with God himself in its purest form. It begins as worship, simply addressing our Father in heaven. We acknowledge his place in the world, in our lives. We honor his name and his power. The spoken words to a loving heavenly Father are a testament of his authority and divinity. Our prayers are futile if they are directed toward any other entity. Our prayers are futile if directed toward any other God. Our prayers are futile if we pray to anything other than God. Any other entity. We worship our Father when we acknowledge his rightful place on the throne, and we express our faith in a sovereign God when we make our requests known to him. To pray is to worship. Psalms 135, we're going to look at that passage right now. Hey, Miss Nancy, you said that you got perfect vision, right? In one eye. Okay. Well, for some awful reason, I had to put on reading glasses now. I've had perfect vision for the last 12 years, but now I'm getting back into reading glasses. It might be because of all the screen time I have and reading books and stuff, small print, big print, whatever. So maybe my eyes are just not as good as they once were. But praise the Lord for perfect vision anyway, right? And with glasses, you have perfect vision, so praise the Lord for glasses. Psalms 135. So this first point is going to be prayer as a testament of God's authority. So we're going to look at Psalms 135, and we're going to see how David talked to the Lord here. Psalms 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord. In the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel has his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. It is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes the lightning for the rain, and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He it is who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who is in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to the people of Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them, so do all trust in them. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord from Zion. He who dwells in Jerusalem, praise the Lord. There's a lot of blessing and praising praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants, to the Lord who stands in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God. So David is putting the Lord at the rightful place. He's putting him at the head of this praise. I really think this is a song or a poem as you read it. You know, and he said, as God took out Egypt, as God took out Og, as God, you know, he did all these things because he's all powerful, right? We go to the name, we go and we worship in prayer. We go to pray and worship, and we put God first. That's how you start off prayer as worship. You have to put God in his rightful place, which is at the head, right? David put God at the head. He said, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's how you start it off. Let's go to Matthew 6:9. Everybody turn to Matthew 6:9. This is the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. The disciples said, Lord, how do we pray? I'm going to start in verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. As a matter of fact, would everybody read with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. So Jesus in verse 9, okay, and also you can find that same thing in Luke 11, 2, teaches the disciples the adoration of God in our lives. We acknowledge him first, right? King David in Psalm 135 acknowledged the Lord first. When you go to pray, you acknowledge God first. You don't just, to go back, worship is adoration, right? You want to adore. It's an example. Jesus gave us an example of how to go to the Lord in prayer. He teaches the disciples the adoration of God in our lives. We acknowledge him first. That's Psalm 135. Notice how it starts. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the name of the Lord. Give, O praise, O servants of the Lord. Why do you think King David wanted to give thanks to God? And he started it off that way because he knew that's when he was in the fields, right? He would pray before he would go out and he would defend the sheep. And he prayed before he went against Goliath. And he was mad because Goliath was making fun of the Lord. Prayer is worship. We offer prayers to the only one capable of hearing and acting. Prayer is worship. We only offer prayers to the one who is capable of acting. So my little red Sonata that I drive, I cannot pray to it and say, get me places, right? I don't pray to it. I can't pray to, there's nothing else you can pray to other than God. There are other people who say you can pray to other things, but the Apostle Paul said, when he went up to Mars Hill and he was talking to the people there, they had the unknown God. And he said, I know the unknown God. And he was able to share the gospel, and then they got to know the real God, and they heard about the real God. I don't know how many people believed. There were some believers out of that, I know. What I'm trying to get you guys to understand is when you go to pray to the Lord, you could say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You could say, praise the Lord, bless the Lord, right? That's giving reverence to him. That's prayer as worship, adoration. Because he is the only one capable of hearing and acting. Go to Colossians 1:16 through 18. Colossians 1:16 through 18. The next point is prayer is a testament of God's sovereignty. Prayer is a testament of God's sovereignty. So just to remind you, the first point was prayer is a testament of God's authority. We give him the authority. Prayer is a testament of God's sovereignty is my second point. Again, that's Colossians 1:16 through 18. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is in everything he might be preeminent. That's saying there that Jesus was at the beginning with the Father. And he is the head of the church. So we see sovereignty there. This passage shows us authority of Jesus it has in our lives. And notice, it says that he is the head of the body and the church. So if we aren't praying to Jesus, who is the head of the church, then who are we praying to? How is your personal prayer life? Are you praying for healing or for financial situations only? If not, then maybe today you might pick up something and be able to start somewhere. People only pray for health. People only pray for financial health. People only pray for people to be healed. But there's so much more to prayer than just that. You can be praying, and you can pass one of my favorite places to be is out in the wilderness, right? Where the trees and running water, and you get, sometimes see wild animals, you know. And you can say, God, thank you so much for creating this for me to be able to enjoy, right? That's prayer's worship. You can thank God. You can thank him for making that. What I'm encouraging to do is not just pray for, you know, it's not bad. So don't hear what I'm not saying. It's okay to pray for financial help. It's okay to pray for health. We believe in Jesus as our healer, right? That's part of the fourfold gospel, right? So there's nothing wrong with asking for Jesus for healing. Whether it be a physical healing or he calls somebody home, it's up to him. He's sovereign. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He can do whatever he wants. And it's okay to kind of pray, not kind of, it is okay to pray for healing. But what I'm encouraging you to do is pray to God and worship. There is a difference. Sometimes people have to be taught how to pray. That's why Jesus took the disciples through prayer 101, right? If Jesus were to name things, I think that would be prayer 101. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's that reverence, that authority. We're recognizing God and his sovereignty, right? And Colossians says that's part of the sovereignty of the Lord. In the beginning, right? John 1:1 was the word, right? And in here it says, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. The very beginning. I'm going to pick it up a little bit, guys. Hang on. So after we teach people how to pray, we honor his authority and his power when we pray in his name, in Jesus' name. That's giving it power. His sovereignty uniquely qualifies him to hear our prayers. His sovereignty uniquely qualifies him to hear our prayers. Psalm 121:2. I'm going to go in verse 1. Psalm 121:1. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. His sovereignty uniquely qualifies him to hear us, our prayers, because he made heaven and earth. Because he created all things. He is sovereign because he is the creator. King David, and I've shared this psalm with you guys a few times, in Psalm 51, part of it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Teach me my transgressions so that I might teach others after I've learned from my transgressions." I had to paraphrase that last part for you guys, but that's pretty close to what it says, Psalm 51. What a beautiful prayer. Again, that's giving recognition to God, right? Because we want to have clean hearts. We want to have pure minds. And we want to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. You got to understand the reverence of God, that He is sovereign. There is no other God before Him. To pray is to worship, is my third point. The act of praying is an act of worship when we faithfully trust in Almighty God with our prayers. Go to Matthew 19:26. Matthew 19:26. As you guys are turning there, I keep saying that there is no other gods before God, that there's only one entity, God Almighty. And I've made it some, maybe I've alluded to it, but I'm going to be straightforward. There are people out there who will tell you that you can pray. This is where AA kind of comes into play. Because they say you can create a being and pray to, you can make a rock your God, and you can pray to that rock in AA. Right? I'm not saying anything else other than I understand that. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there is no other God before me. So when we pray, we go to the Lord God Almighty, and we give Him the reverence because He's sovereign, and we, as His children, need to respect that. We need to understand that. And maybe you're not a Christ follower today. Maybe you don't understand, you know, who Jesus is. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He came to sanctify us. He came to heal us from our brokenness. And He is coming again as coming King. And when we pray as worship and we understand that, our worship, our prayer will be wonderful. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." We have to trust, and we have to. I'll say this point again. The act of praying is an act of worship when we faithfully trust in Almighty God with our prayers. Because, man, I cannot pray to another man and trust that he's going to be able to answer my prayer. Because we can't. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not how it was created. To pray is to worship. Psalm 95:1-7. This is going to be my last scripture with you guys. Psalm 95:1-7. Remember, with God all things are possible. With man, it's impossible. And King David knew that. Jesus knew. That's why He taught the disciples to pray the way He did. 95:1-7. To pray is to worship. Psalm 95:1-7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as if at Meribah, as the one day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test. I'm sorry, I read too much. So go back and stop at verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Do you guys remember singing that psalm as kids? If you read that, you can hear the tune in your head. I can't sing it, but I can hear the tune as a little kid. We used to sing it, and we used to like bang on the tables when we would get to the rock of our salvation. Woo-hoo. You know, we used to, as little kids, we'd like to drum on the table, right? Does anybody recognize that song, right? What they were teaching us was how to pray and worship, right? Because it says that he created everything. He created the sea. He created the land. He created all of you. He created me, unfortunately. But why did God create us? Because he had angels, right? We talked about this a little bit. And I think, did we talk about angels this last week in Bible study? Refresh my memory. Or did we talk about it yesterday? Or both? Both. Okay. He had angels. But he wanted to create man in his image, so that we would give him the praise and the glory. And he said, if nobody will give me the praise and the glory, I'll get the rocks to do it. Right? So he gave us free will. We don't have to worship God. If you choose not to worship God, that is on you. But the Bible says this is how you do it. And I've tried to walk you through some scripture on how to give you ideas on how to do it. Go back to Psalms and just start reading through the Psalms before you pray into, you know, something else. You'll be lifting up the name of Jesus, right? Prayer is a discipline. Prayer is a discipline, and we want to worship in that discipline. To conclude this sermon, the simple act of prayer begins with praise. And when we honor the authority and the divinity of our God, who hears and acts, we may feel like we're mumbling words, confessions, and petitions. But we are positioning our hearts in a way that recognizes our need for a mighty God to act on behalf of weak humanity. But we are positioning our hearts in a way that recognize our need for a mighty God to act on behalf of a weak humanity. Humanity is weak. We accept his loving kindness as he invites us to commune with him. This posture is a one of praise and becomes an avenue of worship. Truly to pray is to worship. To pray to our Heavenly Father in heaven is to say the true things about the only God capable of our declarations. So when you guys go and you start praying this week, think about Psalms 135. Think about Matthew 6. Think about Luke 11. Think about Psalm 51. Think about Psalm 95, right? And I'm sure that some of you who are more mature in your faith can go back and say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Aaron. There is this scripture and this scripture and this scripture about prayer too. That's great. What I would encourage you to do is if you know a scripture about prayer, share it with somebody who may not. I want you guys, as we talk about unity, Ephesians 4, right? As we talk about prayer, the whole point of this, I feel like the whole point of me wanting to do this sermon series is to bring us together in prayer, to more be more unified as a body of Christ, right? I still feel like we're struggling with unity in this church. I still feel like we're not as close as I would like us to be. So pray. And pray that God would unify this body so that we can be examples to others. So that when people come in and they hear our prayer requests, they really know that we're praying for them. We want to invite people into our family. And we want to pray for them. We want to pray for the lost, right? We want to pray for Bo. We want to pray for the people in Kyrgyzstan, right? We want to pray for our missionaries, right? We had Donnie come in last week from Russia. You know, he was a missionary for 16 years, and he said, one of the things he said, I'm going to present a lot of success, right? It sounds like I had a lot of success, but there was a lot of heartache too. We can heap that as a petition to God in prayer, as worship. We can say, God, you are so holy, you're so awesome, right? And it's not false. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, it's not false. Don't be false. Don't be like the Pharisees that go out and just pray on the street corner just to be heard. Do it for real in reverence to God. I'm almost out of time, but if you do not know Jesus, if your hearts are not right with Jesus, and you heard this prayer, or you heard about prayer today, dang it, yes, I have a timer set up here, keep me in line. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, right? God created the heavens and the earth, right? I'm going to share the gospel in this way. We read that God created the heavens and the earth. We read that he created the land and he created the oceans. He created that, and then he created us from the very beginning, before any of that was ever done. He knew that he was going to send his son to be the savior of the world. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? So there is punishment. There is eternal punishment. And I cannot get into this right now, but there is a thing called universalism, right? That people say that everybody gets to go to heaven at the end, that everybody gets the opportunity to embrace Jesus. And that is not true. That is just simply not true. The lost, the ones who reject Jesus and reject God and don't give him the adoration that he deserves will burn up in hell. That's the perishing part. But whoever believes shall have everlasting life, right? So it's more than just saying a prayer of, God, I'm a sinner, please forgive me. Come into my heart and make me a new person. That's simple. There's more to it than that. You have to turn from your wicked ways. You have to repent, believe, be baptized, right? And turn from that sin. All sin, not just one sin in particular, but all sin. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. There's so much more to that, and I can't get into it now because my sermon's over. But if you're not a Christian and you've heard this said today and you have more questions about it, find Brother Gary, find Brother Mike, find Brother John, or ladies, talk to my wife, Sarah. Doesn't matter. I'm not making this about a gender thing. I'm saying find somebody who's a believer and ask how you become a Christ follower today. Don't leave. Don't walk out these doors without turning to Christ today if you're not a Christ follower. We do not know when our time is up. We just don't know. And then, if you return, or even if you're a new Christian or a young Christian or a Christian who is older in your faith, that's great. I hope that you can walk away from the sermon today thinking about praying and worship. Praying and worship. And give God the reverence that he deserves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. God, you created church. You created us to worship you. You created us to lift up praises to you. God, your Son Jesus told us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, God. Because you're reverent. You're holy. God, we learned something this week. I'm going to share it in this prayer. But Lord, when they were building the temple, they were building it quietly. In reverence of you. God, I pray that as people go back and search the scriptures and Psalms and Matthew and Luke and Colossians, that they would understand that prayer is worship. And I pray that they could find a quiet place, Lord, to quiet their minds and their hearts so that they can hear the still small voice that you speak to us through prayer. God, I pray as we go out today that we give you all the praise and the glory, that we are obedient and sharing the gospel with those around us in Greenville, Ohio. Not everybody in Greenville, Ohio goes to church. And Lord, we want to pray for the ones who are lost. Help us as CMA Church to be a beacon of hope to those that are lost. God, I just thank you so much for sending your Son to be the Savior of the world, to sanctify us, to heal us. And we know that he's coming king because he's coming back. Your word says he's coming back, Lord. And I just pray that people would get their minds and their hearts right with you, God. I would pray that people would come to know salvation, that they would be saved from their sin. God, I pray for CMA Church that we'd be a unified church. That we would put away our childish ways when we don't get what we want. That we would be obedient and we would pray for one another, God. Because you told us to do that. Ephesians 4 talks about unity. Jesus, you modeled unity with your disciples. You prayed with them. You ate with them. You slept in the same area as they did, Lord Jesus. And then you, as you were ascending into heaven, Lord Jesus, you said, I'm going to send a helper to help you so that you can go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God, I pray that we go to the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and we are bold for you, Lord Jesus. I pray for this church. I pray that we can learn in God's word. Lord, however you lead us, the leaders, God, I pray that we can be unified. For one thing and one thing only, and that is to bring lost people to Jesus. Lord Jesus, that song that said, let us pray, let us pray, let us pray in every way. Right now is the right time. All the time is the right time. God, I pray that people would figure that out, that they would practice that discipline of praying. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your time, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for this church. Let your will be done. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Psalm 204, hymn 204.